Before we commence with the service today, I have a very special request. First, let me ask how you guys are doing. How was your week? I trust that you had a good week. So let me commence with my request for today. In the Motor City, they are starting a 24-hour prayer line. That is to say, we want to have a prayer line where people from our communities can call in and just ask for prayers, and someone will pray with them as they call in. Now, some of you are nighthawks. That is, you are up all night. 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not sleeping. Maybe that's the time you may want to say, I'm good. However, as it relates to this prayer line, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give my number. It's 313-399-8987. I'm going to repeat it in case you didn't have something ready to write. And some of you have very great memories. 313-399-8987. I would like you to call me or text me. Send me a text saying, I would like to be a part of that prayer line. What we're asking for is 1 hour a day in a 24-hour period that you can make yourself available to man that line for 1 hour. Maybe one day a week, but you can man it 7 days a week. Maybe you are the kind of person that would just love to pray for others. So please text me, or you may text Elder Brazell, Elder Scott Whitehead. You may text the community service, the communication directors of these two churches, Kyra Thomas, or you may text our own, very own Trevor Sluter. But contact us and let us know that you would like to be a part of that 24-hour prayer line. 7 days a week we'll be operating. And again, it's just being there. So when somebody calls in asking for prayer, we never know what they will need prayer for. We will simply pray with them. Thank you so much. Today, I would like to share a message entitled, Peace in a Disturbed World. Peace in a Disturbed World. And today, I'll be sharing 1, 2, 3, 4 points in this message. So you can listen, you may want to write them down, and they follow a particular theme, and you can make them available to others if you're so inclined. Let me welcome our listeners who are not in Michigan. We're always glad to have you, but we're also glad to have the people who listen to us from all around the globe. In Central America, in South America, in the Caribbean, in Asia, in Europe. We thank you for joining us. And I'm looking for those to still join us from the continent of Africa and even Antarctica. Just spread the word and let people know that something good is happening every Saturday at 11 a.m. right here on this virtual service. And by the way, our AV guy is doing an excellent job. You could have only had the sermons if you went to the IPSI website, but now he's downloading them to YouTube. And so you can go on YouTube and you can find the messages. Today, peace in a disturbed world. I begin today with a quotation from Ellen G. White. And I want us to pay attention to this quotation. More importantly, I want us to pay attention as to when it was written. Let's read together. In the last scenes of this earth's history, war will rage. There will be pestilence, plague, and famine. The waters of the deep will overflow their boundaries. Property and life will be destroyed by fire and flood. We should be preparing for the mansions that Christ has gone to prepare for them that love him. This was written in 1897, some 123 years ago. 1897, fire, floods, rage, war. I wonder, can we identify with these today? We read of California and the wildfires. We read of the science that says the earth is warming up. We read of many things as we try to appreciate what God would have us understand today. I want us to look at our scripture reading, and I would like us to appreciate exactly what is taking place. Here, David, the greatest psalmist, writes, and the first point to consider today is David declared peace, the declaration of peace, peace declared. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge. Let me paint the picture. David was victorious in defeating his enemies, and Israel was riding high. But David wanted to keep Israel focused on just how victories were won. You see, back then, they took to heart that we do not need to build on sand. We need to build on the rock. And so you have cities that consider themselves impregnable, and they built their fortresses on inaccessible rocks. And they had iron gates, huge gates, surrounding the cities. And so the people began to conclude that they were safe in their castles with iron gates built upon rocks. They thought they were safe. And David and his army had taken care of business. And David was saying to Israel, come on, Israel, now. Don't become confident in the armies. Don't become confident in the city with the gates of iron. Don't be confident upon the rock on which we were able to build our castles, because in reality, the confidence must be in Jehovah. David was saying, God is our refuge. When we are running or we are trying to escape or trying to conquer anything, we must not lose sight of the fact that God is our refuge. And He is a very present help in trouble. In other words, while we are looking to heaven, while we are thinking of the mansions God has prepared for us, while we are looking to the future, we should not forget that the very God we serve is in the here and now, a very present help in trouble. Sometimes God may have blessed us that we have things we think we can depend upon. A nice nest egg. It doesn't take a lot for whatever you have, maybe just a collapsing of the stock market, and all that you have is gone within a moment. So even as you strive to build, let your building be fortified on the basis that your confidence is in Jehovah. Maybe for the child of God. When David leading out in this psalm with the sons of Korah, you have to have good backup singing from the tribe of Levi. When they were singing this hymn, this song, maybe there might have been some who were listening who were saying, well, thank you, David, but I'm going to trust in my family. I'm going to trust in my friends. I'm going to trust in my possessions. David is declaring to us that when we think of peace, we can only do so with any guarantee that it is by the declaration of God being the chief person on which we rest. David went on to say, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. David is saying, peace is being declared. God is declaring peace for us today, even amidst the confusion that we are experiencing not only in our country, but around the world. Confusion everywhere, but God is declaring peace. Now, God wants to describe what this peace looks like. What does peace look like to you? David says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. So when David is describing peace, one of the first things he wants us to know is that you can't have peace if God is not tabernacling with you. There can be no peace if God is not present. When God tabernacles, He is present. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early, meaning it can be the crack of dawn. It doesn't matter, because we serve a God, and I love what it says. He never slumbers, He never sleeps, and that right early. peace is where God is. We turn to the book of Revelation chapter 21. And here, John the Revelator further describes peace. And even as John describes it, I'm asking you today, do you have peace? Are you disturbed in this disturbed world? Here is what John says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and shall be their God, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. On Thursday, myself and my colleague, Dr. Cadet, went to the Chapel of Chimes, and there we had to officiate in laying to rest Sakina Robinson. Next month, on the 23rd, she would have been 43. She didn't make it. Young person. Left her sisters, her parents, her nieces, her nephews, her friends. And I would imagine with sadness. Sometimes we are disturbed. We are not at peace. But God says there is a time when he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. God declares peace and he describes it. And with God, we can be certain. He says there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Well, when God tells us something, the truth is we can take it to the bank. Because here is what he says in Revelation 21 and verse 5. And you can read at home with me. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. In other words, we can depend upon God. When he describes peace for us, we can say, God, we can fall asleep knowing that when your words are pronounced, they are true and they are faithful. So God, through David, declares peace, and then he describes it. But peace is not only declared, and it is not only described, but unfortunately, peace is also at times despised. Verse 6 says, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. Why would we despise peace in a troubled world? We are told by the United Nations that over there in Yemen, we've lost over 200,000 people in a civil war that began in 2014. We are told that Saudi Arabia led bombing campaigns, and the situation there is very complex. We in the West, we're going to have a hard time trying to understand the positions. All we know is that there is no peace. And you can't have peace where God is not in charge. That's what we need to know. In Nigeria, Boko Haram is still in the business of bringing death and destruction to people that don't believe what they believe. And we are witnessing, even in Israel, in the West Bank and Gaza, back and forth, rockets going back and forth. It's complex. It's not easy to say who's right or who's wrong. All we know is that sometimes there are people who don't want peace. Let me make this kind of personal. Let's not just think of what's going on in the world. Let me bring it home. Let me ask you the question. When you walk into a room, do you bring peace? There are people, wherever they find themselves, you can bet there's not going to be any peace. They're involved in he say, she say. They're involved in things that are always in the context of disturbing the peace. They are prolific in their polemics. That is, they like controversy. And they are very good at advancing controversy wherever they are. They may even be on church boards. Not at our church. Our local church is good, let me declare. We don't fight on our boards. But I know there are times where there are people who seem to appreciate and just love rocking the boat. There is no peace in their homes. Constant quarreling. Finding fault with everything. Can't appreciate the goodness of food when it's prepared for them. They got, it's too salty, it's overcooked. They can never be affirming. And when it comes to relationships, in the description of marriages, there is in the literature a description of what is called conflict-habituated relationships. That is to say, there is no relationship without conflict. It is the conflict that keeps the relationship going. In other words, there are people who simply despise peace. It's hard to believe. It's hard to fathom. It's hard to grasp. It's hard to embrace. Because we would think that everybody likes peace. But that's not true. There are people who in earnest are trying to rectify and to bring about positive change. And yet there are those who spend their waking moments trying to devise ways in which they can bring conflict. It's sad, but it's true that there are Christians who also despise peace. They would get together with people who are like-minded to repeat things that they call a rumor. Well, a rumor means it's something that is not verified. So by the very token of the definition, please don't be repeating things you don't know. And if you heard something bad about a brother or a sister, the word of God in Matthew 18 says, go to that person. It doesn't ask you to call up somebody else. So the moment somebody calls you and tells you something, remind that person that you are in the business of declaring peace, not in despising peace. And by the way, maybe we need to appreciate that the greatest place for peace is when we are on our knees. It's a peaceful time when we can lock the world out and simply spend time with God. Peace is despised. The heathen rage. Those are not just simple words. In other words, David is saying, if anybody is going to be despising peace, let them be the people who don't know God, the heathen, not the children of God. And now we go to verse 8. Peace being deployed. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he had made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. God is saying that where I am, peace is being deployed. Now, that's a word that we often associate with our service men and women when they're being sent someplace. You would hear them say, I'm being deployed to Saudi Arabia. I'm being deployed to the Middle East. That is, they're being sent someplace. This is where you go. Where God is not being sent anywhere. God is saying, I am deploying peace because where I am, there is peace also. God is saying that my presence should be considered as deployment of peace. So the question comes back to me. It comes back to what David said in Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge. Wait a minute. The possessive pronoun, our. David is saying, well, wait a minute. If God is deploying peace, where are you in the picture? And you can only be in the picture if it is personal. So God is my refuge. God is our refuge. God is my refuge. He is a very present help in trouble. So David is talking about God now, and he's talking about God in the future. Isaiah chapter 11. I want you to read what it says with me. Sometimes, even as preachers, we are guilty of spending a lot of time with all that is wrong. The servant of the Lord says, we need to show people the beauty of heaven. They need to see it's a real place, what it would be like. And here Isaiah gives us a description. He says, in the earth made new, he says that the wolf will live with the lamb. Isaiah 11 verse 6. The leopard will lie down with the goat. Hold a minute. I know we have Ken Roy in the house. And we have some other Jamaicans in the house. In other words, now, you got to give up your curry goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. A lion lying down with calves and not wanting to eat them. We are talking about peace in a disturbed world. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. The young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw. Hold a minute. God said it. I believe it. And it settles it for me. And the lion will lie down and eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. So we're going to have some snakes up in the earth made new. That's what the Bible says. But the snakes will not have venom. Last week I spoke on fiery serpents. Here God is saying through the prophet, the infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That is the overflowing of water and sea. So God is saying, he is deploying peace because peace is where he is. So we want us to get that. But there is also a peace where everything will be at peace. Because where we are right now, we can be at peace while it's raging outside. We can be at peace in our homes, but our neighbor's house is on fire. What God is saying, he will usher in a time when there will be peace everywhere. Peace in a disturbed world. So what is David saying to us? Peace is declared. Peace is described. Peace is despised, and peace is deployed. Stop for a moment. What's the one thing in all of this? Well, let's look at number one. Where peace is declared, we're trusting in God. Where peace is described, we are trusting in God. Where peace is despised is where God is not. Where peace is deployed is where we find God. So for us today, peace is where God is. And God says, if we call upon him, In the time of trouble, he will hear, he will answer, and he will deliver. So my question today is simply this. Are you at peace? And if not, why not take this opportunity to invite the Prince of Peace into your life? We're going to put some information on the screen that when we make these appeals, we want you to contact us as the Spirit leads you. We want you to know that it is not just for you to declare where you are, but you can contact us. We can engage. Maybe you just want to pray for us. Maybe you want some Bible studies. Maybe you want to join us. Maybe you want to become baptized. Maybe you want to be accepted on a profession of faith. Today's appeal is for you to invite the Prince of Peace. So when we think of our topic for today, peace in a disturbed world, we're saying the only way a person can have peace in a disturbed world is to invite the Prince of Peace into your life. Into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let us invite the Prince of Peace so that he can declare peace even amidst a storm. He can describe peace and leave it up to us to embrace peace, not to despise it, because God can deploy peace, the Prince of Peace, in our hearts. Father in heaven, we will sing a closing hymn. But right now in this benediction, in this prayer, we ask that you will allow us to appreciate that amidst the fires and the floods and the wars and the perplexities and the challenges in this life, we ask that you declare peace in our lives. We ask that you describe this peace to us in the context of Jesus, Jehovah. Remind us that when you told John to write, "For these words are true and faithful," we can depend upon you. And Father, put within us the ability and the will to not despise peace. May we embrace peace. And we thank you for deploying peace. And now, Father, as we invite the Prince of Peace, let that man, let that woman, let that boy, let that girl pick up the phone and contact us and say, "How can I know more about this Jesus? How can I become a member of God's people? How can I get Bible study and prayer?" Thank you, Father, that even in a disturbed world, when we have the Prince of Peace, we can be at peace.